Welcome back to Overexerted, a Lorgana podcast. Ben, how are you doing?
I'm doing terrible. I've just had a rough go of it lately at League Champions. Basically, Friday, Saturday, and today, I've been playing in League Championships.
That's a lot of mental strain, you know?
It is, and I think that's definitely probably part of it. The thing that's killing me, though, is I've probably gotten the most sleep I've ever gotten in the past, I want to say 3 months at least, just in this weekend.
I believe it's because you're coming home actually tired from thinking all day. That'll do it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's roll back. Let's start with Friday. Was your first one? Tell us about Friday.
All right. So Friday, actually, there was a lot of fun stuff that happened as well. So I'll start with the good, and then I'll work my way through the whole championship. So Friday, I get up pretty early in the morning for a Friday, I guess. I head to the local store that's going to be having their league championships at 2 p.m. I'm there at about, I want to say 10:45-ish. And there are 11 people in line. Actually, you know what? It was about 11, maybe 11:15, 11:20. And there's 11 people in line in front of me. The store opens at 12. League championship signups were in person only on the day of at store open.
Oh, so no pre-registration at all.
You could only register at, they technically said you can only register at one, but people that lined up were like, I mean, we've been lined up, and they're like, well, we'll put your name on the list. And, you know, I guess first come, first serve, at least you were here. You can't pay and actually get in until, you know, registration. If you're not back at registration time, we'll give you like 20 minutes. And if you're not back here, then you're out or something like that.
Yeah, it's a weird thing that they wouldn't let people register as soon as the store opened. I don't understand that policy.
Yeah. So anyways, I'm there. I get my name on the list. I go for breakfast with my buddy who's also a listener of the show, Jeremiah. What's up, Jeremiah? How you doing? And we come back. We start getting our decks ready. Kind of notice that some people are kind of walking around while people are talking about their decks and getting them ready. And you can kind of see them glancing. I saw actually one guy, while my buddy was sleeving up his deck there, one guy walked over, pretended to look at some of the shop wares on the shelf, and looks over his shoulder, trying to look nonchalantly at what color decks he's sleeving. I was like, oh man, it's already begun. The funny thing is, Jeremiah, knowing that this was going to happen, actually brought a second deck that 20 minutes later, he started sleeving that deck as well. So When this guy looked over his shoulder to see what deck it was, he went and told all his friends what he was playing. And then his friends came into the store and saw him sleeving, and he was sleeving a completely different deck.
Yeah. So, I mean, the better strategy, if you're worried about that, might just be to have sleeved your deck before you get there, and also have your deck list written down. I mean, I know this advice, probably should have given this advice out prior to, but if you build your decks on Dreamborn, you can export, like you can print out your deck list on the Lorcana sheet. It's very convenient.
That was the other thing, is every championship that I've been to so far did not require a deck list.
Interesting. Okay.
When we kind of asked, is there going to be deck lists required? They said, well, Ravensburger hasn't really said if this is competitive and needing a deck list technically, so you don't need one. And I was like, okay, well, that's going to be weird if I swap decks in the middle, you know, no one's going to be able to say anything unless somebody's like, no, I saw it. But I'm like, I'm not swapping decks out. I'm just saying something that could happen theoretically if somebody wanted to.
Or more likely make some slight modifications.
Exactly. And that was the thing that kind of bothered me, is I'm like, people could do it. Anyways, 11 people, out of towners. The guy that was at the very end of the line when I pulled up goes, hey, how's it going? I go, oh, pretty good. Nice to meet you. You know, his name's Steven. I go, hey, Steven, nice to meet you. My name's Ben. He's like, oh, nice to meet you. You can take a seat if you want. I brought two extra chairs. I go, oh, no, it's all good. Don't worry about it. I'll just kind of lean against the wall for a bit. Another buddy shows up. He goes, hey, how's it going? Where's your co-host for your podcast? And I go, Charles isn't coming up to this one. He's doing his own thing down in the States. And Steven, overhearing the conversation, goes, wait, are you Overexerted Ben? And I was like, yeah, that's me. And he goes, oh, man, I listened to your guys' show. So it was right off the bat. I'm like, awesome. You know, somebody who listens to the show, fan of the show, shout out Steven. And chatted with him for a bit and in between games had some conversations. And that was really nice. And being there with a couple buddies was actually also really nice. Anyways, let's get into the tournament. So first game I play against a Emerald Steel.
And for context, what are you playing?
I am playing Ruby Amethyst.
Okay.
I end up going 2-0 against Emerald Steel.
Yeah, it's a pretty... Emerald Steel. Okay.
Game two, I play against a mirror match at table one.
Did they see their discard? Did they get their Cursed Merfolks out against you? Like, how'd that game go?
They weren't really playing Cursed Merfolks, or if they were, I don't remember them. Like, it was...
Was there discard? Was there Prince John and, like, Sudden Chill?
I did not see any Prince John's Sudden Chills. I remember seeing... The last card I remember seeing was a Cinderella, Stout-Hearted, which I was like, that seems a little out of place.
Emerald Steel? What, without discard? That's very interesting. Okay.
Dispatched that deck, 2-0. Moved to head table. I started at table 15 for context, or... Table nine. Sorry. Big difference.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't matter in the beginning, but yeah.
And then from table nine, I went to table one and I played a Ruby Amethyst mirror match.
Okay.
Ended up going 2-1 in that one.
Okay. Dispatched the mirror match. How'd that game go?
Mm-hmm. Very well. For like the first game went very well. Second game, he ended up bringing it back. And then third game, I ended up getting out the Sorcerer's Spellbook. Instead of trying to play it kind of wide, like a lot of kind of Ruby Amethyst does, I went full aggro and just like, I noticed we were getting short on time. I think we had 12 minutes left for game three. And I was like, nope. And I just played as fast as I could. And he's like, whoa. And like, just. Yeah, he's really good. I actually enjoyed playing against him, too. Nice person. Game three, I end up playing Sapphire Ruby Popsicles.
Okay.
He was thinking out his turns. First game, we finished with like 35 minutes left. 15-minute game. Mm-hmm. Second game, he wins first game. Second game, we finished at 22 minutes left. So I'm like, we got plenty of time for this. Game three ended up going to turns. And I was at 16 lore and he was at 2.
Do you feel like he was stalling?
I talked to his friend. His friend's like, oh, no, he's just very analytical. It definitely felt like it sometimes because like sometimes he just like stared off into space. I get maybe he was thinking. But I was like trying to play as fast as I could. I threw out 3 minis on one turn. Just to watch them get be prepared the following turn. And I was like, yeah, that's probably a misplay on my part.
Yeah, probably but just like, 2 is good.
Yeah. But like 16 lore to 2. And then it's like every time I'd play a character, he'd throw down a Tremaine or a dragon. And it was just like, dude, just give me the win. Like, you know, you've already lost it. At this point, you're stalling when it's on turns. Come on. And I ended up being the only person that he drew. He ended up beating every single other person and won the tournament.
Was there a top 8 cut, or was it
there was 5 rounds. Actually, every tournament I've been at has been 5 to 6 rounds with a top 8 cut.
Okay.
Which makes for a very long day. The first day, everyone got out of there like after 9 o'clock, and we started at 2. So it was, yeah. Yeah, next game I played Sapphire Steel, lost that one. Game after that, I ended up playing another mirror match, and... almost drew that. I feel like the guy wanted to draw, but he beat me on the first game. And then it's like, well, if I don't win on the second game, then we can't draw out. And I just wasn't getting the draw that I needed. So ended up falling to spot 9. Just missing the top cut.
Dang.
Yeah. Day 2.
Do you feel like you, in retrospect of the games you lost, do you feel like you maybe made any not optimal plays that, you know, like, oh, maybe I should have done this? And I mean, you mentioned the 3 mini mouses.
Yeah, definitely the 3 mini mouses. I think the one thing that I think needs to almost change about this game is there needs to be a way to track if somebody inked or not. Because playing Sapphire Steel and playing Ruby Sapphire is really annoying when you get like 5 minutes into their turn and then they're like, did I ink this turn? I don't remember, so I'm going to ink now. It's like, well, if you don't remember, you don't get to ink then. I'm sorry, you're supposed to keep track of that.
Well, it's actually on both players to keep track of the state of the game.
Exactly. So I actually started today, what I started doing was I took a die and I set the die to, you know, the number one.
Yeah.
And every time their turn ended, I took the die off my playmat. And every time their turn started, I'd sit there listening. And if they say, I ink this, I'd put the die on my playmat. Mm-hmm. And if they tried to say, I ink, if they didn't say, like, I ink using the fishbone quill, then I'd be like, okay, nah, you can't ink again. But most people seem pretty good about it. I don't know. It was by today, so I was kind of also probably just exhausted and wanting to get out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, day two, I ended up winning my first game again, and then I had a lot of misplays. Yes, yesterday it was like I was at 18 lore on the last game that would have decided if I was staying or not.
Still playing and Ruby Amethyst?
Still playing Ruby Amethyst. And I had a Madamim snake in my hand, and I decided to ink the Madamim snake, thinking, well, I'm not going to see a goat. And then I played Friends on the Other Side my following turn and ended up drawing a goat, so I could have won that game.
Yeah.
And ended up losing it, so.
So that's what we call, well, I mean, in your case, not playing to your outs. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a decent chance you won't draw it, but if it's the card that can win you the game, like, you've got to play to your outs. You got to keep the cards that can give you a chance of winning the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I definitely recognized it. On the plus side, I don't have any more set champs for a while, so I have time to practice. I have time to focus on other things for a bit and time to just kind of relax and breathe, I guess. Right. I was kind of hoping to win on the first day so I could literally just relax the rest of the time and just have fun with it. And now it's getting like last couple set champs. I got two left and I'm getting stressed out now, so we'll see.
Yeah, I hear you. I have my first one tomorrow, and I think it's a chance it's going to be the only one I get to go to, actually.
Uh-oh.
So we'll see. Yeah, so I have my set championship tomorrow. Do I know what deck I'm going to play? Things have changed. The answer is no. I'm leaning towards a modified version of Specie's list that he's been talking about, which is an Emerald Amethyst, which I don't know if you recall, I was very high on right at the start of the set, and actually played that deck in set one as well, though it was a very different deck, just happened to be the same two ink colors, but so many cards. I mean, Flynn Rider was still there, but now we have Cursed Merfolk, we have Prince John. It's a very different deck. But yeah, I was high on the beginning of the set. I felt like it had a terrible matchup into Ruby Amethyst. Ruby Amethyst was still very prevalent, so I kind of fell off of it. But Ruby Amethyst, I feel like, is down a lot. It's a lot more Sapphire Ruby, Sapphire Steel decks. Particularly Sapphire Ruby, I think, is very prevalent. I'm expecting. I don't know. This isn't a store I play at, so I don't know what to expect. But overall, feel like a lot of people find that to be the top deck, and I think the Emerald discard package is pretty good against it. So then the question becomes, if that's what I'm trying to be, is Emerald Steel better? And I don't think so, because the, you know, direct damage of the steel package isn't great against them. So I think having some balance to bring my two questers back to my hand and protect them, and having some additional draw with Friends on the Other Side, Rabbit. So that's the list I've been playing with. I think that's what I'm going to bring tomorrow. Although, I don't know. I still have Ruby Sapphire built too. I could literally But I, you know, I don't want to play control again. I really want to play something more aggressive so I can, like, take a breath in between rounds, you know, mm-hmm. when I went to the 1K, like I said, I had, what, two draws? I was not very happy about that. So I don't really want to play a deck that puts me in a position where I'm stressing about finishing it with enough time, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I get it. Because if I hadn't drawn that guy out and I had actually ended up winning that game, I would have made it to finals.
Yeah.
And that definitely hurts. Funny story, actually, though. And I want to shout her out, but I don't want to mess up her name, so I'm just going to shout out the story. Previous episode listeners might recall that at the local set champion that I was going to yesterday, I mentioned that a woman bought 8 tickets, and I called her out on the episode.
Oh, dear.
So I sit down, and she goes, "Hey, wait a second. Are you Benny from Overexerted?" And I go, "Yes, I am." And she goes, "Oh, awesome. We listen to your podcast. We love it." And I was like, "Oh, thank you." And she goes, "Yeah, I was the girl that you called out for buying 8 tickets." And I said, "Oh my God, I'm so sorry." And she's like, no, it's okay. Don't worry about it. And I was like, "Well, I see that you bought them for all your friends. Like, you're all wearing the same shirt. Like, they had like a little jersey made up. I loved it. It was awesome."
That's exactly what I said when you complained about that. So there's nothing wrong.
And they were all super nice, like fantastic people. I love them all. A lot of them, actually, I had Overexerted stickers with me at all the championships I've gone to so far. I handed out a bunch of stickers, ton of people loved it. And I said, "You know, when I was calling you out, I wasn't, just so you guys know, I wasn't mad at you guys. I was more frustrated at the store for not offering it to locals first and instead just posting it up right away." And she's like, "No, I completely get it. Don't worry about it." And I was like, "Okay, well, I'm so sorry anyways." But yeah, all super nice people. I just thought it was funny. And I was like, "Oh no, of course the person that I called out was a listener." That's my luck.
That's why you got to think before you... Don't even get me started.
Funny enough, the person that I beat in the first round was one of her friends. And she's like, "Oh, is the game over?" And I was like, "Yeah, I won." And she's like, "Oh, right." And she gave me, like, she put out her knuckles for a pound. I pounded. And she's like, "I don't know why I did that." And I was just like, "I feel bad now because I just gave you a pound right in front of your friend after I beat her." I was like, "This is just not going to be my week. I'm just going to be feeling bad all week."
For winning, feeling bad for losing. You just can't figure it out.
Yeah, I can't figure out my emotions. I don't know what I'm going through right now. It's a roller coaster of emotions. Yesterday, I ended up actually just dropping from league championships or set championships.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I won the first game, and then I lost the second, lost the third, and then lost the fourth with that stupid me not playing the goat.
Oh, so you were just out. Yeah.
I just said there's no point in me even being here. My kids were actually away at the in-laws for a sleepover. So I said, "You know what? I could stay here and keep playing a pointless card game that's not going to win me anything. A
pointless card game."
Yeah. Hey, man, at the point where you're out and you're not winning any prizes, I could go and hang out with my wife and go on a nice date with my wife with no kids, or I can sit here playing a card game for nothing more than people to stare across the table at me and be like, "Hey, how you doing? Oh, not good. I'm not gonna win anything." "Yeah, me neither." "Okay, cool. Well, see you later. Have a good one." "Yeah, you too."
Good.
I could go home and do that on Pixelborn, not have any interaction, listen to music the whole time.
You could play for the enjoyment of playing the game, Benny. But it's okay. No, yeah, nothing wrong with hanging out with your wife.
Yeah, I'd rather hang out with my wife. At that point, I was fed up with the people that I had been seeing. Not the new people. I'm going to get that clear. Not the new people. But a lot of people that I saw at day one were the same people I saw at day two. And now they're the same people I've seen at day three. I'm done seeing the same faces.
Oh, weird. Are you one of those faces that have shown them to all three? Oh, wait. Yeah, you are.
And it's local. It's my area. Don't give me that.
I'm saying, like, "Oh, how dare these same people show up to all these tournaments that I'm also showing up to all these tournaments."
No, I just figured there'd be a lot of new faces. There was a lot of new faces. I'm just exhausted. I'm just going to say, I'm going to come out and say,
"You're just salty because you haven't gotten the top 4. That's what it is.
No, I'm just tired.
Ben, if you had a stitch in your hand, you'd have a whole different conversation right now.
If I had a stitch in my hand, there wouldn't be a conversation right now.
You see the price of those? They're going, I think they'll come down, but man.
They are going down already. Actually, I want to bring it up. There is somebody on eBay selling both playmats and all four promo cards, and it's obviously a store who put on the event, said they were putting on a tournament, closed their doors, didn't bother putting on the tournament, gave out fake results, kept the prizing for themselves.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
And you know what? I think that, personally, I think Ravensburger should look into those, try and find out who they are. I know it's going to be next to impossible, but if you can find out any of the stores that have done it, I've heard there's one in Ohio.
Listen, let's not start throwing out wild accusations without any evidence.
Throwing them out. No, people have, there's been evidence. I'm guessing that somebody's already put it out there.
Well,
somebody was telling me the full story. You don't know
the story, so I'm just saying.
Anyways, if Ravensburger can find out who these stores are that are doing this kind of stuff, shut it down. No more Lurkana for them.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I would agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
There's always going to be that kind of stuff, though. It's unfortunate, but that's just the way it is. I'm sure they'll be keeping an eye on it.
Now your question is, are you sticking with the same deck? Or are you changing it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you know the answer to that yet, though.
I don't. And today was the problem, actually. I swapped away from Ruby Amethyst today, and I swapped to Steel Song, and I feel like Ruby Amethyst would have won me so many of my matchups.
Mm.
I matched up against 2-3 aggro decks today.
The thing about Ruby Amethyst is there's no, like, it's not as, like, OP as it was in previous sets, but it doesn't have terrible matchups either.
No, I feel like the matchups feel a lot more even than Steel Song. I've kind of fallen off the whole Steel Song thing. I'm just not a big fan anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. Steel Song has some bad matchups that are very hard to win.
Yeah.
It's got some great matchups too that are cakewalk. I think particularly into Ruby Sapphire, which is very popular, it's a tough matchup.
Yep. Ran into a Ruby Sapphire today. The only way I won the second game against them was instead of trying to slow them down, I just decided I was going to play it aggro. And I just started questing as fast as possible, threw down a queen, shifted my queen, threw down a whole new world, messed up their whole game.
Mm, yeah. There was a couple new cards. You know, we don't have a whole lot to talk about other than updating the set championship. But there was a couple new cards. There was Mulan, Enemy of Entanglement. She is a 2-cost, 1/3 ruby with 1 lore and the ability, whenever you play an action, this character gets +2 strength this turn.
Mm-hmm.
There's like some smoke coming at her, some inky smoke. I think it's a bad card. I keep wanting the action trigger thing to be a thing, and it just always seems bad.
I mean, it's kind of funny and interesting because you've got the Smee, who's the exact same, but he's a 3/3, and he just requires a Captain Hook. This requires an action to get to a 3/3.
Now, it's like, well, the upside on this is it could potentially get to a 5/3 or even a 7/3.
It could.
Not likely, but it could.
How many times are you playing an action in a turn?
Well, if you're playing Ursula Deceiver of All, at least twice, you know.
Oh, there you go.
That's always seemed to have been what they're trying to pitch, is that you play this Emerald Ruby action deck with Pete's and Minnie Mouse Divers and Airfoil to draw cards and Ursula Deceiver to double sing songs to get your 2-action trigger off. But it just always seems bad, and I don't think that's going to change. So I'm going to give this card a 0 out of 5. I mean, 1 out of 5. We don't do zeros. That's how strongly I feel.
What about art?
The art's a 2. It's fine. It's just not my favorite art.
Yeah, I kind of feel the same way. It's okay. Smoke. Her kicking some smoke. It's okay. I mean, the background little, like the bamboo stick is kind of cool. A little background with the dragon temple kind of thing. That's pretty cool, but I'm just not really feeling it. One thing I do want to say is I feel the same way for the playability. It's a one. Nothing special. I'm not really into the whole play in action to get some bonus, whatever. What I do want to talk about, though, is I do want to talk about Bruno.
Oh, I forgot that that wasn't out.
Mm-hmm.
When I talked.
So, We Don't Talk About Bruno is a 5-cost inkable emerald song with return chosen character to their player's hand. Then that player discards a card at random. Now, it has been talked about. How do you figure out random? And we have gotten a reply from Ravensburger.
I haven't even heard the Ravensburger reply, but let me just, from a guy who's played TCGs.
It's the usual.
Your opponent chooses without looking at your hand.
Yeah, exactly. You shuffle them up and then just lay them out. And the reason why I say shuffle them up is because you're returning the card to your hand. You don't want your opponent to be like, okay, that's the card he just returned to his hand. Let's get rid of that. So you shuffle it up quick, fan them out, say, go ahead and choose one. Obviously face down so they're not seeing what card it is.
Yeah, a part of me, I guess, was just surprised that that was even a question, but that just comes from I played card games for a long time.
Yep.
But yeah.
They also said you can lay them out and roll a die, whatever you want to do to make it work.
That's what I actually, as like, I don't make my opponents do that if they're the ones, if I'm the one discarding a random card. But when I am the one that is making my opponent discard a random card, I like to roll a die just so that I don't have like a predisposition to go to like the same card position. So you can't play around like, oh, he always picks the card right in the middle or whatever, put the bad card there. So I like to take my my human element out of it and roll a die.
Personally, I like to hold my fingers above their card and go back and forth and look at their facial expressions change. It doesn't really change that often. Most people are pretty good at keeping it straight-faced. Do you want to talk about somebody else from the Madrigal family?
No, I wasn't thinking about talking about the Madrigal. You kind of interrupted me. Well, you didn't say, do you think this is a good card?
For what it does, I think it's an expensive card. I mean, it's kind of, it's a combination of, I'm not going to be able to remember the names. Sudden Chill and Mother Knows Best, right?
Wrong. I mean, let's just say those probably are the two cards you're thinking about, but you're wrong. It's okay. Better than a combination of those two cards.
Well, I mean, you're returning a character, Mother Knows Best, and you're discarding a card, Sudden Chill. But 5-cost. Boom, done.
You're discarding a card at random. Sudden Chill. No, you're laughing. That's a huge difference. Way better.
I guess so.
Your opponent getting to choose the worst card in their hand and discard it versus you randomly get to discard and may hit the best card in their hand.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. I don't know why you're laughing. This is a, like, discard at random is way better than choose and discard a card.
I'm just laughing at the wrong. It is a 5-cost inkable, whereas Mother Knows Best is not inkable. So that's one thing already better.
And it's a song. Granted, does it feel slow? Yes. This leans into what we haven't really seen. We always thought kind of would be a thing. Is you got to go Emerald Amber and you got to use Ariel to sing it. Because that's pretty good value if you can sing it with a 3-cost character.
Yeah, that is true. Especially if you can like scry your deck for it.
Well, with Ariel, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Sure. How do I feel about this card? You go first. I mean, I kind of interrupted you.
Artwork. Fantastic. I love it. I like the artwork. Creepy little Bruno there. He's got all his mice on his back. The twisting staircases, the nice pillars. The pillars actually have some texture to them, so that's kind of cool to see. I'm going to give it a 3.8, maybe 3.2. Oh, you know, I forgot about the little dying fish in the window there. 3.9, 4, you know. Playability, I don't know, 3, maybe 4 if it gets teamed up with the right things. Yeah, I think the one thing that I do really like is if you think about the what happens to Bruno and you think about what the card's ability does, it's basically that, you know? They said he left and disappeared, but I mean, he returned to the house and then got discarded by the family.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you gave it a 3?
A 3.9 and I'm between 3 and 4. I mean, if you try and play it with something else that's not going to sing it as well, yeah, sure, 3. But if you're playing it with Amber, I guess it's a 4. We need some singers and some other stuff, you know?
Yeah, there's pretty good tempo here. And, I mean, there's a chance that they don't even have any cards left in their hand if you're already playing discard. You just basically get to remove a character for 5.
Mm-hmm.
I think 3 is correct for playability. I could see playing a deck where you play a couple of these. I doubt you'd ever really play 4. The artwork, though, is a 5. It's pretty sweet artwork. It reminds me of M.C. Escher, if you're familiar.
Nope.
Very famous painting of like staircases going different directions.
Ah, yes.
And I always really enjoyed that painting, that artwork. And I really enjoy this artwork too. The shadows in different spots, like over on the left and over on the right. There's just lots of cool little Easter eggs here in this artwork. So yeah, I give it a full 5.
Mans loves his staircase.
But the other card, you know, we talked about Mulan, but we did not talk about the Faja.
His name's not Faja.
It says Faja.
Fazu.
I mean, tomato, tomato. It's Faja, father of Mulan. But in all seriousness, the first character we have that cannot challenge, he is a 2-cost, 0-4 with 1 lore, and he cannot challenge. But what he can do is exert to ready a character named Mulan, and they can't quest for the rest of the turn.
How exciting.
I mean, certainly I'm not using him to ready that other Mulan, I'll tell you that.
No, but the Archer Mulan, meow.
Maybe, right? We also have that Mulan from the first chapter.
When she challenges and banishes a character, everything else gains 1 lore?
Yeah, plus 1 lore this turn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do that twice, and next thing you know, everything's gaining 2 lore? Ooh, yummy.
Yeah, it's probably not that good. Still, I see a Mulan that really impresses me. I mean, even still, I'm not excited about this card. 1 out of 5. A character that basically does nothing if you don't have Mulan in play. No, thank you. The sword's pretty cool. So I'm going to give the artwork. I'm leaning between 3 and 4. Sword's really cool. I'll give it a 4 just for cool sword.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was thinking if you team it up with the Mulan Elite Archer after you've shifted her. You know, she's a 5-6. When she deals damage, she can deal it up to 2 other characters. It's like, ready her again, swing again. She's still swinging 5-6.
Yeah, but what's left? If you've just...
if you've just hit one character for five and dealt 3 to 1 and 2 to the other, then you can deal 2 to 1 and 3 to the other.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about all that. Sure, there's some scenario where it's a big play, but I think in general, you want to play a 2-cost character that does something, and this doesn't really.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you shift her, it's basically a turn 5, be prepared. for how much she's hitting.
Yeah, but you're playing a character on 2. This isn't going to do anything to you until turn 5.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's just... Well, I shouldn't try to convince you, but...
It's just bad. I don't know, I saw it and I was like, yep, there's a card I'm not playing, and there's a card I'm going to be disappointed to get out of packs.
I mean, who cares?
Especially when I'm doing a sealed event or a draft.
Well, yeah, then you're disappointed. But...
Yeah. A whopping 1.
Yeah.
For playability and the bamboo, the whole scenery behind him and him, like everything looks right out of the film other than the sword. That sword is definitely not right out of the film. But that sword is something else. That is a beauty of a sword. Anyways, yeah, I'll give it a 3.75. It's all right in my books.
Okay. Well, I think that about does it. Just kind of want to have a short episode. You know, we're all busy trying to figure out what we're going to do at said championship. So, did you have anything else you want to discuss?
No, I think that's basically it. I just wanted to kind of get an episode in while we could and do a nice little short one, talk about what's been going on in set championships so far, talk about our plans for the rest of the week, and just kind of talk about what we're doing. I think we're just basically going to be practicing until our next set championship. I know I'll probably be on every night just practicing as much as possible because... Yeah, I'm getting down to the last 2 and I need at least a stitch card. A playmat would be fantastic, but I need at least a card.
I'm just going for the experience. I got no expectations. Just looking to have a good time.
I need it. I need it in my life. I need it for my collection.
I mean, you can always just buy one.
I could trade somebody an enchanted, but I doubt that's going to be equal. Yeah. I'm guessing people are going to want more than just one enchanted.
Unless you're willing to part with Elsa.
Buddy, last I heard from somebody, they said Elsa was like 1,700. I'm sure that's Canadian, but...
Oh, is she that? Wow. She's really gone to the moon, huh?
Yep. Anyways, thank you everyone for tuning in and venturing out with us on this magical journey. Check us out on our Discord or in the show notes. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at OverExertedCast. If you're looking for us on the Discord, you can actually search us on Discord. I believe we are a community page, so you should be able to find us just by searching OverExerted... A Disney Lorcana Discord, I believe it is. Have a great week. Good luck to everybody else who has set championships coming up soon. If you do happen to see Charles or myself, do feel free to reach out. We love to hear that you guys are enjoying the podcast. And good luck. Hope you'll join us again soon.
Have a great week, everyone. Good luck.